Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel portion that you've just heard read. Let's pray. O Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, this is rather a startling text, isn't it? It's the only occasion in the New Testament where Jesus uses his power for cursing rather than for blessing. So startling and apparently offensive is this text that some commentators prefer to see here an invention of the early church rather than an action of Jesus himself. What are we to make of this text? Is Jesus just arbitrarily zapping a poor little fig tree because it couldn't satisfy his hunger one morning? Or is there more to the text than that? We need to see in Jesus' action on that particular morning, the cursing of the fig tree, we need to see in this a prophetic action, an action with deep symbolism. Normally the Old Testament prophets compared Israel to a vine. But there's one place in Hosea where he compares Israel to a fig tree. Like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel. And then he goes on, like the first fruit on the fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers. But they dedicated themselves to the Baal of Peor. They consecrated themselves to Baal and became detestable. Israel, a fig tree with first fruits, but then consecrating itself to idolatry and becoming detestable. That's the Old Testament background to our text. The more immediate background is provided in Luke chapter 13, where Jesus tells the parable of a fig tree that had proved disappointing for 3 years. We're to think perhaps of the 3 years of John the Baptist's ministry and of Jesus' own ministry, putting John the Baptist and Jesus together. The owner of the fig tree, according to the parable in St. Luke, wanted the gardener to chop it out. But the gardener pleaded for the tree. Give it one more chance, please, Master. One more year for digging around it and applying manure. Then if it should bear fruit, well and good. Otherwise you may chop it out. Clearly then, the fig tree represents the nation of Israel, which our Lord had found sadly lacking in fruit, the fruit that befits repentance. His word to Israel had been, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And some, as we know, did repent. The meek and the humble, the quiet in the land, the children. In the immediately preceding text, here in Matthew 21, we see the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. And Jesus saying in response to the children that out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have brought perfect praise. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repent like the children, like the meek and the humble. And as adults, Jesus says back in Matthew 18, we all need to repent and to become like children. But the nation's leaders, the elite who ran the country of Israel, remained stubbornly opposed to him and his divine word. Instead of repentance, he had found in the chief priests and scribes nothing but arrogance and constant opposition to himself and his word. The temple, the heart of the nation's religious life, intended to be a house of prayer to all nations, had become a den of robbers, or as it's perhaps better translated, a nationalist stronghold. And so there came the judgment, symbolically administered to the fig tree. The nation's rejection of its rightful king, its Messiah, would lead to its being cut down and chopped out. Chopped out by the Roman axe in the hands of the Lord. unless you will repent, unless you repent, you will perish. As Martin Luther reminded us, the believer's whole life is to be one of repentance, of drowning the old man by daily contrition and repentance. Out of the depths we are to cry to God for mercy, for all of our selfishness and lovelessness over against him and our neighbour. From depths of woe I cry to thee, Lord, hear me, I implore thee. Bend down thy gracious ear to me, my prayer let come before thee. Our prayers come before one who has tremendous power. He demonstrates this in the cursing of the fig tree, which dried up, as we heard, immediately. Nor was that fig tree ever to recover. May no fruit ever come from you again, Jesus said. We see how our Lord's stern judgment on the fig tree has shown itself true in the barrenness of rabbinic Judaism ever since, as testified by Père Lagrange, Father Lagrange, the French Dominican scholar of the biblical school in Jerusalem. Father Lagrange writes, "On my return to Jerusalem after furlough, I buried myself in rabbinic messianism. It was the only period of my life when I have found work wearisome. What chaos, what lack of a sense of reality, what lack of any real human feelings in the absence of real religious feeling hidden by the turgid style." Herr Abel was perfectly correct. There is more wisdom in the Antigone of Sophocles than there is in the whole of the Talmud. One might even say that the Talmud contains no trace of wisdom at all. It's a very severe judgment from a Roman Catholic father who was not known as being particularly conservative, but this was his impression of rabbinic Judaism in the Talmud. Having read a little in the rabbis myself, only a little, but having read many of their parables, I can attest too that compared with the rich parables of Jesus, what the rabbis produced is silly and trivial. But enough of that. Jesus' miracle is meant above all to be a sign for us. It's a sign meant to encourage us in the faith, to be confident that if we have faith, we will do similar things. We will be able to move mountains. Not literal mountains, perhaps, but difficulties and problems that loom before us like great mountains will suddenly disappear as we cast our burdens on the Lord. He is able to do infinitely more than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Infinitely more, in terms of giving grace and help and endurance in times of need. For each of us individually, for our families, for our congregations, or rather his congregations, for his seminary. And infinitely more he can do in terms of enabling us to lead fruitful lives, lives like fruitful trees planted beside the water, fruitful because we abide in him by word and prayer. Listen again to his assurance at the end of our text this morning. Whatever you ask in prayer trustingly, you will receive. Moreover, the miracle of the fig tree is a sign that encourages us to know that just as he broke the fig tree, so in answer to our prayer he will break and hinder every evil counsel and will not let us hallow God's name nor let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, or our flesh. So there's both a positive side and a negative. The positive is that he will do infinitely more in answering believing prayer on our behalf, our families, our congregations, and so forth. The negative side is that he will break and hinder every evil counsel and will opposed to him and his kingdom, just as the fig tree was cursed. And so we pray, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith in you as the meek and humble Messiah who has triumphed over your enemies by your cross and resurrection and have brought life and immortality to light by the gospel. Increase our faith in you, in your grace, in your helping love. As our hymn concludes, though great our sins and sore our woes, his grace much more aboundeth. His helping love no limit knows, our utmost need it soundeth. Our shepherd good and true is he, who will at last his Israel free from all their sin and sorrow. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.